Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday afternoon, final hour for us. Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. Brandon Adams, host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast, going to, in about 20 minutes from right now, as he always does on Tuesdays, to talk Georgia football ahead of the Georgia-Florida game, the cocktail party on Saturday afternoon. BA, we'll get to an AMA at 1:40 as well. Any phone lines will be open at 404-726-0929. We'll get back into the day and let you hear from Raheem more minutes as well.
Who's the best player in the NBA?
Right now?
Yeah.
Nikola Jokic, I think.
Okay.
But it might be Wemby.
That's what I'm saying. I was curious. I was curious where your answer was.
It might be Wemby.
It might. Just give me
a few more games.
Yeah, I get it. But I was like, I just saw the highlight. This dude, and it's so weird because of how tall he is. Lay it where a guy's trying. Like, just,
yep.
I mean.
Yep.
Okay, I was just curious. Like, who do you think is the best player to be? Because he's pretty sick right now, dog.
Uh-huh.
Like, what he's doing, his ball handling.
Yep.
And pulling up, just like
dunking on people, blocking shots.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. No, it might be.
Yeah.
It might be. I guess
you got to do a little. Yeah.
Just a little more. The other thing too with him is, and I'm, you know, knock on wood that this doesn't happen, but he's been pretty injury prone. In his early career. Now that last year wasn't an injury; it was sort of like
an
illness or whatever.
Yeah, blood clots.
Blood clots.
Mm-hmm.
But this is it's a strange body type.
Yes.
To be able to be playing 82 games like that. With all these little, you know, everybody running around your ankles all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a tall task to stay healthy. He's built for 82.
Yeah, but we were, it was like, because highlights where we're going from the Pelicans game, and I saw how Zion, bam. And I like Zion's, it's amazing.
He looks great.
It's amazing when he plays how good he is.
No.
And now you're talking about he got a foot.
Hurt his foot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Damn it.
Another highly injury prone player.
Is DeJounte back yet?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
But yeah, I was just thinking about that. I was like, damn, Wemby just sick with it.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Like what he did on opening night where, you know, he's catching lobs. And I mean, AD is Anthony Davis probably as equipped as anybody, if there is such a thing, to defend him. He could do nothing.
Nothing.
And then, you know, he got tired of being in the paint. So he's like, you know what?
I'm going right here.
Let me just hit some step back.
Come here, AD.
Yeah.
Come here. Stay right there.
I spent this whole summer working out with Hakeem Olajuwon and Buddhist monks.
And Kevin Garnett.
And Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, so he cusses more. He cusses and spits more.
See him just pull up from the logo?
Yes.
Yeah, man.
After blocking two shots.
I know.
The logo? That's what we're doing?
I don't.
After blocking two shots.
What are you supposed to do? Like, what are you supposed to do to stop the guy?
Is he a good free throw shooter?
Yeah. Everything. He's good at everything. And he's stronger now? Like, I don't know. He might be.
Yeah.
He might. He's probably, I mean, if he keeps doing this, he's going to be the MVP this year.
Yeah.
He's like 21.
Yeah.
Damn Spurs.
They always get it right.
They had to take a couple down years, and they're right back in it.
They just tend to
DeJounte's not.
Oh, yeah. I was tend to get that damn number one pick, a big man, huh?
Yeah.
David Robinson. Tim Damn Duncan.
Put them together.
And now this guy.
Yeah.
And now this guy.
Now you got this guy. Now
you got this guy. Oh, and then you go find Kawhi at number 14. Trade him for George Hill.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, like this damn guy.
I know. The damn Spurs.
Yeah, man.
Seem
what
to always
hell?
Be in the mix.
What the hell?
Anyway, let's get to the big story today. Kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
It's hard to say that you're predictable, but I can't talk about the situation yesterday when you do get predictable. You know, when you go down 3 points or three possession game and you got to go out there and throw it every single snap, that's going to make anybody predictable. That's a problem. And we've been in that situation probably twice this year.
We got your
ass. And those situations we got to stop from getting into. You know, obviously those situations make it really easy, make it really predictable. Make it easy to figure it out when you know you got a pass and the guys can pin back their ears and go rush. So we got to get better from a whole standpoint when it comes to those things and maintaining and staying on schedule so we can get our offense going.
That's not the criticism, though, really. Like, everyone gets predictable when you're down by multiple scores because you have to throw the ball.
Right.
The question is the offense predictable when it's first and 10 in the first quarter and it's 0-0?
Right.
Like, are you tipping your hand a little bit in terms of what play you're about to run? Everybody knows you want to hand the ball to Bijan, but that's fine. Like, yep. A lot of good offenses in the NFL, you know what they want to do.
Correct.
They execute their way into doing it. Last couple weeks, the Falcons haven't done that.
Yeah, I think the thing with the predictability of an offense and everything like that is if you execute, it doesn't matter. And I promise you, it doesn't matter if you execute it. We had a play, Andy, it was called 525 F-post, right? Everybody knew that we were going to run it on third down. Everybody knew. Everybody knew when we got 11 personnel, we were going to run 525 F-post on third, seven, whatever. And we were always 100%. You know why? Because we executed the hell out of the damn play. If you execute the play, the predictability, it goes away. It really, really does. And so when people say, well, they're predictable and all those different things, if they execute, it don't freaking matter. And I truly do believe that. Now, they've got to do a better job of being able to adjust when stuff ain't going right. That's the most important thing right there is when it's not going right, when you can't run the football. That's why you drafted Michael Penix. When you can't run the football, he's supposed to throw you out of these things. Tough thing about that is he's a freaking rookie.
Yeah, and he didn't play Sunday.
And he didn't play Sunday. So that's the thing about it is they got to get better with plan B.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Plan B.
Yep.
Plan A is Bijan. I'm sorry. Bijan. All right?
I think it was Bijan Sunday.
All right. Bijan, yeah.
It can be Bijan if he goes off.
That's the plan A. It's him and Tyler Allgeier in his run game.
And that's a good plan
A. It is a great plan
that's
A, Andy.
That's a good plan A.
But what happens when it ain't working?
Failure.
Thank you.
Miserable failure.
Thank you.
And embarrassing losses. That's what happens.
Thank you.
So how do you fix that? How do you improve your in-game adjusting?
That's on him to find.
You know what I mean?
But the thing about it is
like
is
that's
that,
one of the hardest things to do. And I think we oversimplify so many things in sports, but one of them is being good at in-game adjustments. You know who is the best coaches?
Yes.
The best coaches are. Like one of the things we rave about Georgia with Kirby is he did. Well, you know why? Because he's the best coach in college football.
Yes.
I think, I don't know if most or whatever, a lot of coaches, especially play callers, struggle when their plan doesn't work. Like, what's your backup plan? I don't know. That was the whole criticism with the Dan Quinn, Kyle Shanahan era. Now, their plan A was real good.
Yeah.
But when it didn't work, plan
– Dude, you got
plan
be,
B.
You got
there, but was, thing, there was never a worst-case scenario.
But then I go back to this a lot of times because it's a lot of emphasis on coach. Yo, what the hell are players doing? Are you getting open? Are you doing what you're supposed to do also? That's why when I said on Monday about – you know, I don't speak dork. Well, nobody else is doing nothing. So I don't give a damn what the dork stat says as far as their grades. Somebody sent it to me last night, too, which is funny. But
there were positive grades?
Yes, it was.
How?
Yeah, I don't know. But again, I don't speak dork. Are the players getting open?
No.
Okay, so
a little.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to miss throws and all those different things, too. But that wasn't, I mean, what about the other plays that they were running? Where were you at then?
I will say this, because this is something we've talked about all year. Even Vikings win, Commanders win, even second half of Bills win. Like, and I know that Penix wasn't out there on Sunday. Cousins was, and Cousins played awful. The quarterback position in general for the Atlanta Falcons needs to be better.
Yes.
Because early in the season we were talking about, Penix is either getting rid of the ball too soon. He's not trusting the play to develop. Mm-hmm. He's missing a guy who's coming open a little bit later, whether it's Kyle or Drake or whoever. Certainly it was Mooney on Sunday with like plan B is a lot more possible if plan A is to run the ball. If plan B is then to rely on your quarterback, if your quarterback's playing,
yes,
playing well.
Yes.
Like even Penix's best game hadn't been that great this
year. No, and that's what I'm saying. He's got to play
now,
better.
Now he's a rookie, so there's at least some expectation of
but
that.
Yeah, you got to.
Still, you got to do it.
You got to do it, man. You got to do it, especially when you look at where, you know, where teams are, what teams are going to do now. They're going to give Michael Penix opportunities and these receivers opportunities to win football games for you.
Yeah.
To win football games.
They're going to go man coverage, and they're going to tell you you can't beat us.
Yes, because we're not letting Seven beat us. We know he can beat us.
Yeah.
And we're not going to – and that goes back to, okay, now we got to figure out something new to do with Bijan. We got to figure out something new, a new wrinkle, a new something they have not seen to get him the football. I think one thing – And because he's so special, it doesn't you see the other thing. They are not a good perimeter blocking football team. You know, when they throw screens. The one play we saw, that was Bijan. That was all Bijan. Everything like that. They're not the best as far as getting their linemen out in space to run and kick out and create alleys and stuff. The Falcons are not very good at that. But they got to figure out different ways. Okay, Zach, we see what you want to do. All right, so this week right here, I'm not sleeping. I'm not sleeping. I'm going to have my ass. I'm going to look at some old Rams tape. You know what? I'm going to look at what San Fran and what the Miami Dolphins did to beat us because it's all in the same tree. Let me see what they're doing.
Yeah.
Let me figure out what they're doing. And let's implement this stuff into our offense, the same one to beat. This is a copycat damn league. Everybody knows that. Let's go back because all this is this whole the three teams that were in these two games, the Dolphins, the 49ers, and the Falcons, they're all from the same thing. All from the same coaching philosophy, all that other crap. Let's see what they did.
Yeah, and we talked a lot about it leading into the 49ers game. It'll be interesting to see, having seen the defense play well up to this point, what Kyle Shanahan thinks their weak spot is and what he does to try to take advantage of it. You called it that week. He's going to run it right at the middle of that defensive line until they stop it, and they never did.
Yeah.
They had their best running game in 3 years that day, the 49ers did. Dolphins did the
and
same that's, thing.
And the thing about it, Andy, that was all they had, though. The 49ers weren't making no plays in the pass game.
Oh, absolutely not. They were going to hand the ball to their all-world running back and then throw it to him when they didn't hand it to him.
Right.
And what do you know? That worked because he's Christian freaking McCaffrey. I mean, the Dolphins had a similar offensive game plan. What the defensive side of it is what's interesting, though, is because both of those defenses said, if we can make them one-dimensional, they cannot beat us. Take away the run and the pass game. Awful.
Yes.
And is quarterback rating a dork stat?
In my opinion.
It is? Okay.
Why? What's up?
Well, I was just, I looked at the quarter, just the team's quarterback ratings.
Uh-huh.
Falcons are pretty close to the bottom.
Okay. Who's at the top?
Lions.
Yeah. Teams that win.
Lions, Patriots.
Yeah. Teams that win.
Eagles, Packers, Rams.
I don't need no stat for that or percentages.
And you know who's not?
Who?
Browns, Titans, Raiders. Mm-hmm. Jaguars, Saints, Vikings, Falcons.
Yeah, so tell me, do I need a calculation or something like that for that?
The quarterback play has been dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be better.
Yes. I need.
It's not Penix's fault, though.
I need analytics for that? Oh, God.
His Cousins rating is dragging the thing down from Sunday. I'm sure Penix's is up there with Jared Goff's. Oh, man. God, I hope he plays good on Sunday against the Patriots.
That was the first one.
I know.
That was the first one.
No, I mean, my first little lie.
Yeah, that's the first one.
No, I've been honest about it. He hadn't been good enough. He will. He'll figure it out. He's a second-half player, Randy. Second-half of the year player. Brandon Adams is going to join us next, host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast, Sports Radio 92.9.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment.
Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the game. 120 on Tuesdays means Brandon Adams joins the show, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily as well. BA, how are you?
I am doing great. Looking forward to the cocktail party and trying to make the best of what is a pretty miserable weather experience outside.
Oh,
it's cold.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. We hung on as long as we could. It was nice up through like Sunday, kind of.
It's going to be nice this weekend.
Whatever this is, I'm not built for
it. It's supposed to be nice. It's supposed to be nice this weekend.
I'm sick. Like, I'm not reacting well to it. What do you think Florida is going to do reaction-wise to playing their first game with without Billy Napier? Is it a new coach energy thing?
Yeah, I think it is. And, like, this may be, like, the conspiratorial side of my brain coming out, but all of this feels very intentional. They were going to fire Billy Napier no matter what. They've known that for a while. But once it became obvious, there were reports leading into this that the Mississippi State game was going to be Napier's last game no matter what. Well, my gosh, the timing of that feels awful convenient to say interim coach, 2 weeks to get ready for Georgia. You know, Billy Napier, his play calling in particular on offense was viewed to be a big problem. You demote Russ Callaway, you promote the quarterback's coach who DJ Lagway seems to like. Lagway's in a great mood right now. So, yeah, as a Georgia partisan, someone who wants Georgia to win the game, I'm on guard for Florida to have all kinds of chicanery in the first half of trying to throw something at Georgia that Georgia wouldn't have prepared for. The perfect analogy feels like what Jerry Neuheisel was doing for UCLA. Now, I hope it doesn't work out quite that well. I assume it won't. But clearly, a lot of the way in which the Napier firing was handled was in support of having a better showing against Georgia.
I said this before you got your own, B. I was like, they're going to come up with it. Nothing that they've done before the firing of Billy Napier, they're going to do complete opposite. They're going to go more speed, tempo. They're going to throw everything at Georgia because they've had 2 weeks to prepare for them.
And Kirby Smart this week, yesterday, was like, nah, I don't know how much that's going to change. I don't think he would admit it if they were. That's just the way he's going to play it close to the vest. But they're clearly going to try to make Lagway comfortable. And listen, Georgia is in a pretty good spot right now, 6-1, with a real chance of being back in the College Bowl playoff. But defensively, they can be had, especially early in the game. And you watch, you know, what Lane Kiffin was doing, and I'm not like ball knower guy, but you can watch clearly trying to take advantage of some things he had seen work for the teams against Georgia. Well, of course, I mean, Florida's got the internet. They can run the same stuff that their people have been running. And to a certain extent, that's what I'm guessing they're going to try to do.
I would think so.
Yep.
What do we know? I know the game's still a few days away, but coming out of the bye, what do we know health-wise for Georgia?
Well, the big one is obviously Colby Young is now done, and what Georgia is going to do, try to match. I mean, Colby was having a terrific season. He's a really good wide receiver. I think that Georgia's got some options here. I mean, Noah Thomas is the easiest one to put there because, A, Noah should have been playing more anyway, getting more touches. Now at the X position, maybe he can. I'll tell you another guy that comes to mind for me a little bit is London Humphrey because, you know, Humphrey's at the big moment against Tennessee, been kind of quiet since then. He can also play the X. And, you know, you saw the tight ends get involved in a big way once Colby got hurt against Ole Miss. I think they try to do that, too. The other injury thing is offensive line, where slowly but surely they're getting healthier. And to my eyes, the best I can tell, as that group is getting healthier, it's also playing better. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say too much because, boy, that could change at any moment. But it seems like right now that's a really positive development for Georgia.
B.A., was there – because, I was gone, but I saw a couple clips of the game day – in Nashville, and this quarterback that's supposed to come to Georgia, like some uproar about that?
Yeah, I think it was mostly just kind of for fun. I mean, obviously, Georgia fans were a little irritated by it because there was also the thing going back, you know, a couple of years ago with Kirk Herbstreit and Dylan Raiola, where Herbstreit allegedly, according to Dylan's father, Dominic, convinced Raiola to flip from Georgia to Nebraska.
Oh, really?
Herbstreit says that's not the way it went down, but that's what the Raiola telling of this was. I think this was a lot more, at least from my standpoint, a little bit funnier because Nate's a funny comedian. People kind of like him. I think it also demonstrates what a big deal Jared Curtis is. Georgia gets a lot of five stars. They've even gotten five-star quarterbacks. I think that Curtis is as good a prospect as we've seen come to Georgia in quite some time. I think it's really exciting. It doesn't seem like his Vanderbilt visit had much of an impact on him. It seems like he's still solid with Georgia. People around Georgia thought that the entire time. So it was definitely the sort of thing that got remarked upon, kind of funny, but I don't think it was as big a deal as, I mean, I was really aggravated by the Raiola thing. I think that Georgia's just in a different place now where this kind of stuff does not probably puncture Georgia the way maybe something like that would have theoretically done in the past.
Seemed to me like a guy who lives in Nashville who got asked to come do a cool thing and did it. You know,
I also think some of the national reporting around this. Yeah, no, I think so. I think some of the national reporting around this was a little bit weird. I think that Vanderbilt, for a lot of reasons, clearly liked the idea of Curtis being there.
Right.
And it goes back to what Andy said. It probably wasn't a huge opportunity to really sway him to coming to Vandy, but it was a great chance to say, hey,
look who's on
campus. We can get the five-star quarterback on here. Imagine what we could do if our coach had a long-term extension, if we got more NIL. It becomes a little bit of a bargaining chip for what that staff would like to have more of at Vanderbilt, I believe.
I saw a little bit of what you were talking about because obviously we're talking about, you know, I just read $182 million worth of buyouts for the coach that are being fired. Now, what was your thought when you saw Brian Kelly?
Well, first of all, to not be allowed to continue in mediocrity in perpetuity, that's not a tragedy. You know, Brian Kelly got paid very well. He came to LSU for a chance to win a national championship, something that the three previous coaches at LSU had done, and he didn't do it, and he likely wasn't going to do it. So they spent big, they paid the buyout, and now they're going to try to find somebody better. I don't think Brian Kelly's a bad coach. I mean, he was good at Notre Dame. I think he'll coach somewhere else. He may be more successful somewhere else than he was at LSU. But culturally, he was not a good fit there. He was faking it the entire time. I don't believe he was ever comfortable. And deep down, the LSU people had to sense that because when someone's inauthentic, we can always sense a version of that. But I think that people are trying to make sense of all these coaches getting fired, these teams that are spending these huge dollars in the buyout. Look, if you had Saban in his prime, he's making $10 million. He's probably worth $1 billion. I mean, these guys are worth 10x. The great coaches are worth 10x their salary. And so if you don't have the great coach paying the buyout, trying to hire a new guy, that can still be positive ROI if you can find a guy that elevates your program, because that's how valuable the best coaches still are. Even in the NIL and the transfer portal age, these great coaches still have huge monetary value.
Do you get a sense that what makes the best coaches is shifting slightly in this new era? Where obviously Brian Kelly was really good at Notre Dame and did well, and we understood the hire and all of that, and maybe he wasn't a fit for LSU culturally. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's not a great fit for what college football has become culturally. What has that shift kind of done to the way that you view what makes a coach great?
This is a yes and no for me, because talent acquisition has always been the most important thing for coaches. Old school recruiting, new school NIL, transfer portal, it's still talent acquisition. But the way in which you massage the system now through the NIL, a lot of that's high school, some of that's transfer, that part is different. And it does seem like the Brian Kelly really failed at that. Last season, they needed defensive linemen. They thought they were going to buy some, and they just didn't. This year, they thought they had a better portal class, but apparently they didn't evaluate those players as well as they could. So it has changed, but it's only evolved with talent acquisition still being the most important thing. But swallowing your pride and knowing that the way in which you negotiate is more important than your recruiting pitch, that's the way that it's clearly different now than it once was.
How do you think Lane Kiffin's agent is going to play this?
That's a great question, because you can make a case that the LSU job is a better job than the Florida job is. But I don't know. I think that if you can convince Florida to do what it really hasn't done, the knock on Florida has always been they're just a little stingy in the money department. Going back to the old school days of facilities, or now when it comes to some of the NIL stuff and things like that, or even assistant coaches, Florida hasn't wanted to spend big. So if Kiffin, who I do believe is going to take a job, LSU or Florida seem like the most likely options. If he can convince, because he's already rich, he's going to get paid a lot no matter what. But smart folks know it's not just the price, it's also the terms.
Right.
If he can say, if you want me, pay me this, but I need you to give me X number of dollars for my roster between LSU and Florida, let's just say whoever ponies up the most for that kind of stuff, the quality of life benefits, that's ultimately how Lane Kiffin's going to benefit the most. And I do believe, A, he's probably ready, and B, he's going to probably take one of these jobs that is still a step up over what Ole Miss is.
You don't think Ole Miss can pony up enough to keep him?
I think they certainly have recently, but we're talking about if this is a 10-year transaction, which you would certainly hope it is, the chances of Ole Miss being able to do for 10 years what you know LSU can do, what you believe Florida can do, I think it's still a safer bet. If you want a national championship, if you want to be in the same category that your friend Kirby Smart's in, you've got to probably take a different job to get there.
We appreciate it, B. Great stuff. Thank you. Brandon Adams there, Dog Nation Daily podcast host. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily as well.
Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch all your local games every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We different.
We are indeed.
We different.
We are indeed. We're all different.
Yeah.
We have to embrace our differences and celebrate them. Brought to you by Red From The Heart, redfromtheheart.org, the AMA to wrap the show up every single day. Final hour of the show brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at reliableair.com. We've got 6 phone lines, and 5 of them are free. So jump on hold if you'd like, 404-726-0929. You can ask us any question that you'd like to wrap the show up. We'll start with Will in Lilburn. Hey, Will.
Andy, this Andy. How you doing, Andy?
Good.
So this question is for you, Andy.
All right.
I want to hear what Ormstead would think about hiring Lane Kiffin to replace Raheem Morris or Brian Kelly coming aboard as the offensive coordinator for my Falcons.
Thank you, Will. Then want to hear what Randy has to say about that. I wish you could see Randy's face right now.
No, what did he just say?
We're hiring Lane Kiffin to replace Raheem Morris.
Yes.
And I think Brian Kelly is OC.
As the OC.
Yes. I don't give a damn if you ask me a question. I give a damn about the question.
Yeah.
What the hell are you talking about, Will? Liz?
Well,
what you talking about, Willis?
I'm pretty sure Lane's going to stay in college.
Hold on, Abe. Go ahead.
What's the point of Brian Kelly here if Lane's here? Like, Lane is the offensive play caller?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you asked Andy that.
I don't know what the...
What the hell? What, Will?
I don't want either of them, personally.
What are you talking about?
I know somebody tweeted us about Brian Kelly, too.
No!
Here's what I'd really like. I'd like the Falcons to start winning this year.
Yeah.
So Raheem Morris gets to keep being their coach.
Damn!
I know that's an unpopular opinion. Right now.
Didn't you learn anything from Petrino?
But I sure would like him to figure it out.
Yeah.
And for them to start playing some better football and not have to fire everybody at the end of the year. Now, I know that you know, it's up to them. It might happen. Could happen. But they're not going to fire him till the end of the year.
Brian Kelly as the head coach and Lane Kiffin as the offensive coordinator.
I don't want that, no. I'm not interested. Because that was kind of the question is, would you be interested in that? I'm not interested in that. If the Falcons do end up needing a new head coach, I'd like a veteran head coach, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who's done it.
Yeah.
Ideally at a high level.
Yes.
You know?
Like, why don't you call Andy Reid, make him say no?
Sure. Perfect. Great idea. Evan is in his car on 316. Hey, Evan.
Hey, I'd be all for that idea. But anyway,
Andy Reid, I think we all would.
Yeah. So I am on the way to the doctor, but I'm curious, what is the absolute sickest you've ever been in your life? Because mine was when I got COVID back in like 2020, I think.
Okay.
I had a 104.7 fever and was about to go to the hospital.
Damn.
I think.
Well, good luck at the doctor today, too, Evan. Hopefully it's just a routine checkup.
Man, the sickest I've ever been.
I know mine. I'll say mine while you think of yours. Mine was when I ate that got that bad shellfish shit.
Oh, yeah.
In Daytona Beach.
Yeah, I remember that one.
A couple years ago.
You were dead.
I have not eaten shrimp since.
Really?
And I love shrimp. I'm scared of them
the
now.
The sickest I've ever been.
I've never been so sick.
Oh, God. Oh, I think the sickest I've ever been, I remember, it was at Georgia. And I remember, I was just so sick. And I just remember, because it was during summer camp. I just remember that. I remember I lost like 15 damn pounds.
Ooh.
Just sick. Just couldn't hold nothing down for like.
For how long?
Like 3 days.
Oh, man.
I mean, the sickest I've ever been was at, and like I'm in Georgia, it was during summer school. So I'm having to stay in mail. That's when we had to switch dorms for summer school. I had to stay in mail hall. Mail hall is the raggediest, like the community shower.
That's
like,
no place to be sick.
Never ever been in, dude, dying.
Oh,
dying.
And you're probably by yourself,
yes,
pretty much, right?
Yes,
so
yes.
No one's there to help.
Nobody's to help or nothing.
And that you got to be sick in that bathroom?
Yes.
Oh, that sucks.
It was awful.
You got to try to take like the, maybe I'll feel better if I take a shower.
Yes.
But it's a community shower?
Dude, awful.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
that
man.
That is
awful.
That's dire straits awful. Right there, man.
Awful.
Alexis is in Roswell. Hey, Alexis.
How you doing, guys? Everything good?
Yeah, man.
Pretty good.
Good. So, Randy, I know you're a Georgia fan. I know, Andy, you're a Washington fan, and I'm a Buckeye fan.
Right.
But if we could play the national championship game tonight, I want to know what two teams would the public, all the fans, and yourselves would like to see.
If they could play the
Washington
versus Georgia. Yeah, Washington versus Georgia.
But like the general public. I don't know.
I don't think there is one right now.
No, there's no like consensus.
I don't think there is a consensus like that. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I think Ohio State's probably in, just based on what their defense is and the development.
No, I understand.
Who's the other team?
Yeah,
though?
No, I understand the logic would put Ohio State to where they're playing, but he's talking about the popular. What do people want to see?
Is Ohio State Bama? It feels like a better draw than Ohio State A&M.
That would be one. Yes,
yeah. Ohio State Bama would be pretty.
I think you put Bama in anything over Ohio State would be like that.
I'm trying to think, is there any other school that's kind of.
Indiana.
Do people want to see one of the newbies?
Listen here, Indiana grad.
Yeah, man, nobody knew you went there.
We didn't even know you went there, okay? So just pipe down over there.
All of a sudden, Abe's like, oh, I graduated from
there. Yeah, I graduated from Indiana. You knew that, right?
No, you didn't.
Pipe down.
Well, I did.
Go get some sleep.
I know you did, but you didn't get your diploma printed until last year, and they were 8-0.
Yeah. I'm Ohio. Yes. That's all.
I don't know. I don't want to see Ohio State in the national championship game, though. No offense to Alexis. I'm good. They won it last year.
Yeah.
Give somebody else a bite at the apple. I think it'd be pretty fun to see Ole Miss. Because everyone says Lane Kiffin can't win a championship at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why? Like, why not?
He's
7-1.
You know what would be super fun, although very unlikely? Ole Miss and Louisville.
That would be shocking.
That'd be shocking.
It'd be super fun game, though.
Here's another one I would like to see, just because everybody keeps saying you can win a championship anywhere now, which isn't true. Like, the only teams that have won championships are still the blue blood teams,
mm-hmm.
like Ohio State, Michigan, like Georgia, like Alabama. Those are the teams that are winning championships, even in this era. It would be pretty cool if a team that wasn't one of those teams did it. Like, if Indiana could somehow do it, or Vanderbilt. I mean, Georgia Tech's undefeated. They're 8-0. I know not everybody would think that that was cool, but some would.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree with that. I mean, we live in freaking Atlanta.
We do.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sure I'm almost
positive. Some listening would enjoy that.
Yeah, I'm always positive they would enjoy that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the thing about college football. There's no, like, public consensus.
No, not anymore.
Everyone loves their own favorite team and hates everyone else.
Yeah, but I think more now, it's so much better now because the playing field is so level. Because before, it was just Alabama beating the hell out of everybody.
Pretty much.
Beating the hell out of everybody.
Malik is in Snellville. Hey, Malik.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hi, Malik.
How y'all doing, man?
Good. All good.
First time caller, man. Been listening to you guys for a long time. But I got two questions, man.
Okay.
Let's say you guys stranded on an island and you can only bring three albums.
Three albums? Albums, okay.
Albums, yeah. Which one would you bring? Because mine would be Jeezy, Take Motivation 101.
Hell yeah.
Bob Marley, Greatest Hit of All Time.
Hell yeah.
And Michael Jackson, Dangerous.
All right.
And my second question is, let's say Mr. Arthur Blank decided to get rid of the coach. Would you have a problem with him bringing Mike McCarthy to Atlanta?
No.
I would have no problem with
at
that.
At all. Nothing. No,
that's kind of the name that was in the back of my mind.
I knew that was the name, because the same name that was in the back of my damn mind.
What I was thinking about.
Yep.
A veteran coach who's done it.
Yep, that was the same name I thought about. That ain't going to be sexy, but damn it, it's going to be solidified.
Let's be, what's the opposite of sexy?
I.
Yeah. We'll be all right in the playoffs.
All right.
Because that man goes to the playoffs.
He goes to the playoffs.
Three albums?
Yeah. But the Bob Marley just...
No, he threw a greatest hits album in there. I know. Is that cheating or no?
No, yeah. I mean, whatever. It's your own rules.
Well, okay, then Exodus then.
Okay.
All right, Exodus.
Pretty much all the greatest hits are on Exodus.
Yeah. The Miseducation, Lauryn Hill.
Great call.
And, oh, man. I mean, it's hard to beat that Thug Motivation 101. It's hard.
That might get you off the
island. It's hard right now.
That motivates you to find the way off.
Yeah.
I would go Aquemini.
Okay.
I would go The Carpenter by the Avett Brothers.
Okay.
And now we're opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
We can go anywhere in the middle now. What's the third one? I might have to go a little older.
So, okay.
You know? We can go greatest hits?
Yeah.
Can I take the Allman Brothers greatest hits?
He took one, so I'm assuming he asked a question, so I'm assuming you can. Why wouldn't you just take three greatest hits albums? So you just got to figure it out. Like,
that's true.
Yeah, that's true. I could just take that Outkast, Andre and Big Boy present Outkast.
Yeah.
And there are two awesome different songs on that album.
There you
too.
Go.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Yeah, that's a good question. But you know, Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
It would be high on my list if I were a owner hiring a new head coach this offseason for sure. Mr. Jones is in Marietta.
Well, speaking of that, I was wondering, he went Mike McCarthy I'm tired of the retreads. We done seen that, been there, done that, you know what I'm saying? So I was wondering, he said Mike McCarthy, I was going to throw Byron Leftwich, Pep Hamilton, and I'm going to let Randy, one of y'all give us one guy, because let's say y'all clean house, right? Everybody got to go. But you need a coach. GM got to go, too. I'm applying for the GM job. Right. Terry got to go. All right? So besides them three candidates, give me one more, because those are the three I'm looking at. So give me one more. Besides Pep, Byron Leftwich, real quick, would y'all be cool with keeping Raheem as the DC and just hiring somebody else?
That's never going to happen.
You're off to a bad start.
You're off to a terrible start.
I was going to keep him. I was just asking with y'all.
Hell no.
I'm clearing house.
If we're moving on.
No.
He only gave two also.
But yeah, no.
I'll give you a third. Thaddeus Lewis. His folks live here. Quarterback coach.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, I think he's an up and comer.
He's an up and comer. Is he ready now, though?
I don't know. Yeah. It's a fair question.
You know the word that I really don't like is retread.
Yeah.
Because it's just the negative way of saying experience.
Yes.
Like what the last three coaches they've hired weren't retread. I guess Raheem had been a head coach, but the reason he got another job as a head coach was all of his assistant coaching stuff.
Yeah.
Arthur Smith was the hottest coordinator candidate. That wasn't a retread.
Right.
Dan Quinn, same thing before that. That wasn't a retread.
Yeah.
Also, like, some of the guys, like Andy Reid, technically would have been a retread.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Because he had been a head coach before. That's what experience is, just a nice way of saying.
That's all it is. I love me some Byron Leftwich. Hell no.
Where even is he?
He's the quarterback coach of Colorado. No. And I love me some Pep Hamilton. No.
Where even is he?
I don't know.
He's at Maryland, I'm
pretty
sure.
Yeah, I love Pep. I love these guys. No, I don't want no guy who ain't coached before as a head coach. No. I want an experienced head coach to come here. First of all, I want Rod to win.
Me too. That's what I really want.
That's the ultimate. I want Rod.
Exactly.
I want Rod to win here.
We're doing a little too much right now.
Yeah.
Because they still got 10 games left.
A lot fewer people suggesting Dion after the season they're having.
No.
I mean, I don't know. All right. Norris is in Monroe. No. Hey, Norris.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hello.
So, going back to the college football championship question, you hit it right on the head. Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech would be a crazy national championship game. But the question was, and it's just a little fun question, but it does have some seriousness to it. What's going to happen first? Are the Braves going to hire Freddy Gonzalez as their manager again, or are we actually going to get rid of one of these coordinators, or the head coach and the coordinator for the Falcons?
Ooh. I don't think the Braves are going to hire Freddy Gonzalez.
No.
But also, no. If anyone even does get fired from the Falcons, I don't think that's going to happen until the season's
over. No. I don't think there will be any moves unless it just – again, anything is possible. I do believe that. But, I just don't see him making a move. I'm talking about Arthur Blank. I don't see it.
Not in season.
Yeah, not in season.
It is, other teams are hiring their managers, though.
Yeah. So Snicker's son is going to the Mets to be the hitting coach.
Traitor. Come here and be the hitting coach.
Yeah.
He probably wasn't allowed to do that before.
No, I know. That's exactly right. Like, he definitely couldn't have coached for the Mets when Snit was the manager here, right? Although Acuna's brother plays for the Mets.
Acuna. He's got Clarence to go play in winter ball.
Ronald?
Yeah.
Good.
And World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, yeah, so good.
Stay hot.
Stay hot.
Stay healthy.
Stay healthy. Stay hot.
Yeah.
Final call. Xavier's in Riverdale.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, what's up, Zay?
Cooling. So, first thing, and I'm going to make it quick because I had to get to my own, but I think I need to clear up what I think we are saying with retread. We're talking about somebody who's coached here already.
Oh,
it's like the same tire with new tread, not a coach that just coached generally. But he was here and he failed miserably.
Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? Because I know when Mike was hired up at Knicks, people were saying, oh, another retread. He never coached at the Knicks. So, are we sure that's what he meant?
Oh, well, that's my interpretation of it. It feels like that's what – because we had history with him, and he was no good.
I just feel like it's like during the draft process when someone's undersized, if you like them, they're versatile. If you don't like them, they're a tweener. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you like the coach, experience is good. If you don't like them, they're a retread. That's my thought.
For sure. But so, man, I was just saying, like, it seems like we're the only city – who tries to be so patient. Like, if we go to San Francisco and the kicker says he chose them over us because he wanted to win, like, people just not willing to come here because nobody ever makes bold moves, like, not consistently. Like, if that's what you're going to be, do it all the time. If you're the type of coach that's going to be like, okay, this ain't working, you got to go, do it all the time. Nobody should be an exception. Right. That's why there's no identity in Atlanta sports in general. It's always be patient. Oh, it's always give them another chance. For what?
Xavier. I understand.
Xavier, I would say, though, Xavier, thank you for the call.
I understand.
If they move on from this coaching staff, this will be the fourth different one that you and I have covered.
Yes.
We haven't been doing this show for a decade.
Yes.
We've covered how many different Hawks head coaches?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
So with the patience part, I'm like, oh.
There's not a lot.
You're talking about, like,
we're firing people every couple years.
Yeah. So you want to fire it after, like, four games.
Also, I've heard a lot of that reaction to the kicker with the 49ers.
What kicker?
The guy,
Pinheiro.
Who? Pinheiro picked the 49ers over the Falcons and said he wanted to go with a better chance to win.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's right. He went to the 49ers. What are you mad at him for?
That's a damn what Pinheiro brand says.
He went there, and they beat the Falcons, and they're 5-3, and the Falcons are 3-4. He was right.
Whatever.
I mean.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Kick whatever.
Shut the hell up.
Yeah. Be mad at the kicker.
Tell him to shut
the
hell
up. Be mad at the kicker. He said the 49ers are a better franchise than the Falcons.
Tell him to shut the hell up. You just a replacement kicker to damn ways.
Is he wrong, though?
No.
No. He's not. Let's get the takeaways of the day.
As our show hits into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All the street kickers count less. my gal likes trashy nachos, which I never heard. And BA said chicanery.
He did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Chicanery.
You mean trick plays? I said it, but Randy agreed and said it also. We all like to be all in.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it moves slower, it's actually worse because it just sits on top of you. Randy's not a good hip guy.
Yeah, not a good hip guy.
I'm just here to thank Freddie Freeman for ending that game last night.
Don't take your ass to sleep, baby.
I'm going to. I promise you, I'm going to.
45 minutes of sleep is not enough. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 11.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.